Chapter 31. Two Brothers Reunited. Vulcan passed beyond the broken gates and left Plaintiff's Reach behind. He then crossed another gate, an Auspex array scanning his every molecule, but unable to define what they saw, as eagle-masked sentinels looked on with cold dispassion. Sentry lights strafed him, a statue in Saurian armor. These two Vulcan left behind, the way made open to him amidst the crashing refrain of disengaging locking bolts and gear-driven barriers parting. The second gate led to a commercial district at the edges of the petitioner's city, which had been summarily evacuated. The resource alone to achieve such a feat, and the apparent need to do so, told Vulcan all he needed to know about how seriously Dawn was taking his sudden appearance. And yet, after he passed through the ghost-like streets and avenues, he was to be given a further lesson. Upon reaching a third gate, much taller than the others and surprisingly ornate, Vulcan realized he was not merely being allowed ingress, he was being shepherded. The gate opened, much like the others, the grand rendering of a mythic griffin splitting down the middle, its wings parting east and west. Behind it stood a formidable guardian. The knight soared above Vulcan, who had to crane his neck to meet the iron-clad gaze of its visor slit. Frosty azure light burned within. A great chain blade was mounted on one arm, currently dormant. The other had a thermal cannon, cold for the moment. It would not take much for either weapon system to activate. Its armor fumed with mild radiation fog and heat bleed. The reactors of the great war engine hummed, but it did not move, and nor did its vox horns stir. Vulcan felt its regard upon him, but for now it was content to watch, to wait. Vulcan gave it no cause to anger, and did not engage with it in any way. He considered what must have happened on Terra to provoke such caution. Back at the wall, the Imperial fists had seemed on edge. He had never known the Sons of Dawn to be anything but stolid. As he passed beyond the threshold of the gate and its guardian, Vulcan found himself in a great square, empty but for the armored warrior waiting for him there. Wintry light from a pair of enfilading watchtower lamps bled the figure almost to monochrome. Gold armor turned to white, its ornamentation made glorious, almost deific. An eagle head, rendered in profile, sat proudly upon each shoulder. The warrior's gauntleted hands rested on the pommel of a great chainsword, its red casing made pale in the harsh light and chased with shimmering filigree, the blade pointed downwards. A crack in the stone flags underfoot webbed from where the weapon touched the ground. Though bareheaded, he did not squint in the pellucid aura that surrounded him. But as his dark eyes fell upon Vulcan, they narrowed. A hard face framed those chips of napped flint. White hair, so fair and fine it looked like fire, crowned his head.
"You come at a most inauspicious time," said Dawn,
his voice harsh and thunderous, where Vulcan's was deep and resonant. Vulcan crossed the 100 paces separating him from his brother. Though he could not see them, he felt the many pairs of eyes upon him, watching from somewhere in the shadowy arcade that delineated the square. Upon reaching Dawn, he smiled warmly.
"It is good to see you, Rogel."
Dawn nodded, ever reserved. He sheathed his sword, and at this signal from their Primarch, Vulcan heard the sound of 20 Imperial fists disengaging and powering down their weapons.
"You look older, brother," said Vulcan.
"And you are no different from the day we met," Dawn answered coolly.
"I heard you had died."
His annoyance at being called away from his numerous duties and responsibilities faded, though Vulcan could see the burden still weighed heavily.
"I have longed to see my brothers again, the ones not trying to kill me."
Dawn's jaw stiffened at the remark, suggesting some unspoken pain or regret. Vulcan did not press him. Some truths were best left unsaid.
"I would embrace you," Vulcan confessed. "But that was never your way, was it, Rogel?"
Dawn laughed gruffly.
"Abstention is a wise decision."
Vulcan embraced him firmly anyway, and felt his affection for his brother returned, albeit awkwardly. As they parted, the smile did not quite reach Dawn's eyes, though the expression was not unkind.
I am glad you live. Of late, I have found precious little to celebrate.
I can see that, brother, said Vulcan, gesturing to their surroundings.
The palace is much changed. We all are, said Dawn. Everything has changed. It had to.
Above, Vulcan heard the engine drone of an approaching ship. The silhouette of a transport appeared in the distance.
Is that for us? For you? But I will accompany you some of the way. I must see Father. I must reach the throne, said Vulcan,
his eyes drifting from the gunship back to Dawn.
I know, said Dawn. We knew of your coming. The Emperor told us. He also said you were to be escorted to the Imperial dungeon. And yet I am greeted with bolter and blade by one of your Huskals.
Dawn allowed a wry smile to reach his face.
Arcamus has much to learn. I am also being cautious. I was sorry to hear of his forebears passing.
The levity drained from the other Primarch.
He gave his life for mine. Kestros wears his mantle well and proudly. He did his duty. I am only glad he did not kill me where I stood, said Vulcan.
Dawn's eyebrow raised a fraction.
I suspect that would be difficult, even for 100 of my sons.
After a moment's pause, Vulcan's expression darkened.
I saw an army laying siege to the throne room. Our father's great work has failed, and the terrors of old night have been made manifest. We must resist them, Vulcan.
Dawn turned to face the gunship, raising his voice so he would be heard as it came into land.
We must endure!
The gunship took them across the petitioner's city, rising slowly through the agglomerated strata of the palace. Through the rain-spattered armor glass of the gunship's viewing block, Vulcan saw weapon towers, ablative armor, mass auger stations and barrack houses. Troops lined every parapet and battlement. Mobs thronged the streets, milling around in fear and confusion, listening to the demagogues and doomsayers who had risen up like weeds in an untended garden. Enforcers jostled with the crowds, obscured by acid rain. Smokestacks belched corrosive fumes into the atmosphere from the thousands of manufactorums laboring day and night to produce shells and ammunition.
I know what you are thinking, said Dawn,
quietly looking into the shadows, as if the answer to a particularly perplexing problem lurked there.
It was beautiful once. It will be again, said Vulcan, regarding his brother. And its glory remains undiminished. What times we live in, brother.
Vulcan looked back out into the night. Lightning cracked silently in the distance, briefly illuminating the forbidding shadow of the Tower of Heroes. How long before the bell at its summit began to toll? And once begun, when would it end?
Are you and I alone amongst our father's loyal sons to have returned to the throne world? The Khan is here, roaming who knows where.
Dawn scowled at the thought. Jagatai, so different in nature to the redoubtable Lord of the Seventh.
He has a stallion's heart, brother. Wild and untempered. You mean willful? Dawn griped.
Vulcan laughed and found the act profoundly saddening when he realized this moment was but a fleeting one, and soon the darkness would encroach again. Dawn was right. They must endure.
Do you think he'll reach Terra? Vulcan asked,
not referring to the Khan now.
I know our brother, said Dawn. Horus is as tenacious as he is ruthless. He will reach Terra, and I will stop him. Even conquerors are blunted against my shield. Would you kill him, Rogel?
Dawn's gaze was lost to memory, and Vulcan suddenly had the feeling this was a question he had already answered, though one perhaps asked more broadly. Could you kill one of your brothers? His eyes met Vulcan's, hard and icy.
Could you? Could you kill one of them if they were beneath your sword?
I had the chance, said Vulcan, but could not bring myself to do it.
Dorn turned away, disgusted, though it was hard to tell if the emotion was directed at his brother or himself.
I would kill him. I would kill all of them for what they've done, and gladly bear the guilt of it.
An uncomfortable silence fell upon them after that, only broken several hours later when they came in sight of a landing pad that would lead Vulcan to the inner palace confines. In the distance, the Tower of Hegemon loomed, and Vulcan watched as they made their slow descent, the rain still lashing. A cohort of golden-armored custodians stood waiting at the edge of the landing pad, following the gunship down with the hot glow of their retinal lenses. Guardian spears glittered in their gauntleted fists.
Are they to be my escorts now, brother?
Asked Vulcan, looking over his shoulder at his brother and shouting to be heard above the raucous cry of the engines. Dorn nodded.
I have to return to the Bab Bastion.
His expression tightened.
And my legion and I are not needed in the Imperial dungeon.
Vulcan grasped Dorn's shoulder.
I am glad you came, Rogel. I am glad we got to see each other again.
Dorn looked stern, some vestige of his last words still lingering. But a little of his reserve diminished at this last act of compassion, and he clasped Vulcan's outstretched hand.
I hope it is not the last time, he said.
And they parted as the gunship's side hatch ratcheted open and Vulcan leapt out into the rising storm. Upon the landing pad, Vulcan gave a curt salute as the gunship rose again, ferrying Dorn away. After it was lost to the night and the clawing spires of the palace, he turned to his escorts. One of them stepped forwards, the red horsehair plume of his helm fluttering wildly in the breeze.
Lord Vulcan, he intoned. The Sigillite awaits your presence in the Sanctum Imperialis.
Vulcan nodded.
I expected nothing less. Lead on.